Yo! What up, Pims and Players? It's your boy Isaac. What are we gonna talk about today? We're gonna talk about Maniac on Netflix. We're gonna Netflix and chill. Yep, so we've got a lot to unpack from this show on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, I advise you to turn back now. Go watch it, because what you will see is the symbolic representation of the evolution of the masses. This is it. This is the revelation of the method. We're going to talk about all the themes of ritual magic, Saturnian influence, MKUltra mind control, moon goddess worship, and the alchemical wedding, the bridal chamber of the mind, evolving mankind. That's what it's all about. They think they are doing you a favor. They being, of course, the Illuminati. It always is. Every show, every movie, it's the same thing over and over. And they say, I'm crazy. No. Nope. Mashable, Vox, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, they're all crazy. Read their nonsensical ass interpretation of the show, and you'll see that what the truth is what I'm about to tell you, and they do not want you to know. That is why they punish the conspiracy theorists, because they want to keep you fat, dumb, and happy. So, before we get into it, I want to give a big shout out to Susan on Amazon. Left me a review on The Dark Path. Very good comment. Said the book should be titled Illuminati for Dummies. Easy to follow. Author's thought process throughout the book, he is spot on. I now look at movies, music videos, and the mainstream media with eyes wide open. Big up, Susan. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking here. And this show on the Netflix is exactly that. It's one more thing that we can look at and understand the big agenda, the way forward for the Illuminati in their new age of occultism. Also want to give ups to Aaron. Just sent a friend request on Facebook. I got a lot of messages on Facebook. I don't know. Whoever sent me messages, my apologies. I do kind of a monthly message cleanup here. I just happened to catch that one as I was heading into the studio here. But, big ups to everyone shooting me emails and messages on Facebook. I try to get back to everyone on these when they slide in the DMs. But, you know how that goes. Life gets busy sometimes, but I will surely get back to you. You didn't come here to talk to me about Facebook, though. You came here to talk to me about Maniac and Netflix. So I'm going to warn you, there are plot spoilers. Heavy plot spoilers. So let's get into it, right? I'm assuming you listened to it, I'm assuming you watched it. If not, you can probably catch what I'm saying and then go watch it and see for yourself. Of course, this is the show on Netflix that stars Jonah Hill and Emma Stone. I believe were both in Superbad, weren't they? That just hit me now. What a long way they've come, because they do a pretty good job in this show. So I didn't really know what it was about before I watched it, but if you want to know what it's about, it's basically Inception mixed with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And that's kind of what it is. It's sort of a science fiction-y, psychological, dystopian, sort of Minority Report-esque sort of show. And I got to warn you. Like, as far as, like, you know, taking a step away from the occult symbolism, it was kind of weird. It started out one direction, no pun intended, and ended in a totally different one, in my opinion, right? This is my humble, non-professional opinion on TV shows. But like, the first episode, I thought, oh, this is going to be real interesting where they're going to take this. But then by the last episode, they didn't seem to like follow that same trajectory, or at least so I thought. Tell me what you think. Hit me on the socials. What do you think of the show? And then also, I want you to listen to this as we unpack this big suitcase of symbolism. I'm going to try to go through this sort of chronologically. And heads up, we're going to follow... Okay, now listen. I want you to listen to me here. I wrote the analysis on my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com. You can see it now. I advise you to somehow, some way, look at the article I wrote, the analysis, because I took over 40 images from the show to prove my points. It'll make more sense. You don't have to, but if you've got the capabilities to, please do so. It's on IlluminatiWatcher.com. And the recurring themes you see will be very obvious. I'm going to kind of follow along from the way I wrote it. And like I said, it's kind of chronological. I started that way, and towards the end, I kind of like have to sort of mix ideas. Whatever, right? Okay, so the show starts out, the first episode, there's an opening sequence where you hear a narrator. And this narrator goes through the Big Bang sequence and the evolutionary processes that gave us mankind and where we are today, through astronomical collisions and biological unions, which were needed for mankind to evolve from stardust to fish to humans. Now, if you look at the history of the occult, they believe in evolution. They believe in this idea of going from mental thoughts to mineral states to animal to human. So that is naturally why they want to continue the evolution of man. Man must now evolve into God and give birth to a new life form. What is that life form? Artificial intelligence, the machines. And then we will join the machines as digital entities, streams of light consciousness screaming through the universe, just like you read about in Arthur C. Clarke's final book in the 2001 Space Odyssey series. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's it. That's essentially it, right? Case closed. Illuminati confirmed. Watch the show. But you're watching this opening sequence and they flash a bunch of stuff. The narrator's talking to you. They got the symbol of the all-seeing eye that flashes, 50 all-seeing eyes at you. You'll see it. And when you see the all-seeing eye, of course, we know what that means, right? It means it is a show intended to enlighten you, enlighten the masses. Open up your third eye, the pineal gland, the brow chakra. Whatever you want to call it, it's the revelation of the method. Now, this opening sequence, what I thought was going to happen was this narrator was going to play a role throughout the series, but not quite the case. The narrator does its piece at the beginning, and that is it. Now, you have to listen to what the narrator says, because it's setting the tone for what the show is all about. Like I say, it talks about the Big Bang and connecting this cosmic energy and these connections of heavenly bodies and how this amoeba becomes the Earth's first organism and the ancestor to every living thing on Earth. And this will allow connections of souls, connections to different worlds, and the forces of nature will demonstrate infinite potential for all of our connections, because that's what it's about. Connectivity in their digital matrix. The narrator suggests a hypothesis, which was curious. It said that all souls are on a quest to connect without our minds being aware of this quest. All worlds that almost were are just as important as the ones we are in, and they can also cause us great pain. Now, one thing I want to talk about here It sounds like they're talking about the multiverse theory, multiple realities, different dimensions. And, you know, that sounds a lot like Mandela Effect. Listen to my show I did a few months ago with guest SMQ for more on Mandela Effect. We'll revisit it here in a little bit. But this narrator's goal is to eradicate all unnecessary forms of human pain and evolve us past our suffering. Now, isn't that curious? And to me, that is precisely what they think they're doing. They, being the Illuminati, the occultists, they're not really bad, evil people so much. Well, kind of they are. I mean, it depends how you look at it. Some of them, right? Some of them believe in this stuff because they honestly believe they're helping humanity. They think that religion, organized religion, is oppressive. And while it's got its faults, I'll give you that, it's not entirely inherently bad. But, I mean, that's a whole sidebar subject we can get into. But what I'm getting at is the Illuminati, the occultists, they believe they're honestly doing us a favor. I mean, take that for what it's worth. They're wrong, but they don't look at it that way. Narrator says, "We're lost without connection. It's quite terrible to be alone. My research into this matter is ongoing." So, who is this narrator? Well, I don't think it's a human being. I think it is a form of artificial intelligence. Because this whole series revolves around this AI named the GRTA, which is actually based off of Greta, which we'll talk about in a bit. And what it does is running experiments and learning from humans in the lab. Now, I didn't write this in the analysis, but, you know, I'm just freestyling here. This is my visionary stream of consciousness. But isn't that what Facebook's doing? And Google? And what's that Amazon listening, spying, Alexa? The Alexa, all that stuff? They're just listening, collecting data, and selling it. Selling it to who, though, right? Selling it to people that want to get into your mind. Now, at the beginning, episode one, the action starts. Annie, who is Emma Stone. We're basically going to... Here's the list of characters. Annie, who's Emma Stone. And Owen, who's Jonah Hill. And then there's a couple of, you know, side characters that we'll get into. But that's basically it. Owen and Annie, okay? So Annie tries to buy a pack of cigarettes. And on the side, prominently placed, are decks of playing cards. B playing cards. Now, as I've talked about in the past, particularly on my Justice League podcast episode, the B is known as a symbol for magic. That is why Freemasons use it in their symbolism, and the state of Utah, which is where I'm living right now, I'm surrounded. The LDS Mormons use the B symbol. They're obsessed with the B. I don't know what their reason for it is. I'm going to go ahead and say it's based off the Freemasonry, which is based off of the B and the magic. Because Joey Smits, the guy that founded the LDS faith, he was doing some of this sort of ritual magic stuff. And we're talking about ritual magic as opposed to stage magic, which, of course, is your David Copperfield type stuff. But, and speaking of which, sidebar here, I heard Post Malone, the rapper, lives in Utah. He was apparently hanging out, I don't know, wherever, downtown the other night. And, if anybody out there knows how to get a hold of him, tell him to hit me up, because I read that he is actually into conspiracy stuff. So, I think that would be a pretty interesting guest to have White Iverson on here. But, yeah, it's very curious. Utah's a weird place. Very strange place. It's a good place to live. People are pretty nice. Weather's pretty good. But there is a lot of weird symbolism. Like you saw on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, there is there are these white cubes embedded into the sidewalk downtown nobody seemed to know about. I went as far as to email the city, the city street planning whatevers, and we ran it to ground and couldn't find out why that was what it was, why they were there. White cubes. The cube, which comes up in this show too, by the way. So in terms of the Illuminati, their method is magic. For it's causing changes in the world, causing changes in conformance with the will. Whose will? Their will. Whose house? Run's house. So after Annie gets the money, she gets the cigarettes, and then she goes outside, she's walking down the street, and you see her rifling through some discarded items on the table, picks up a Rubik's Cube. The Rubik's Cube, aka the Magic Cube, that's what it used to be called, the Magic Cube. Also the symbol for Saturn. Cubes are the symbol of Saturn, yes indeed. And you also see a copy of the book Don Quixote. Now, it's very curious because you never really find out why this stuff was sitting on the sidewalk. There's, you know, possibilities that this is one version of reality and it interfaced with a different one, because later Owen does get fired because Owen is the owner of the Rubik's Cube. But Annie is the owner of the Don Quixote book. So here you have the two personal items connected in the same box on the street. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Besides thinking that maybe there's some quantum entanglement going on here. Another curiosity is that Owen, his name is actually Owen Milgram. He comes from the Milgram family, which is the name of the building that she is rifling through the stuff. The building there is the Milgram building. And there's a guy named Stanley Milgram, who is the famed psychoanalyst who did that obedience experiment where the participants would come in and they would sit at a machine and administer shocks to people on the other side of a wall when they got questions wrong. Of course, the electrodes weren't really hooked up to the person on the other side of the wall, but the trial person did not know that, and they would keep administering shocks up to the point of lethality. And anyway, I don't know. What do you do with that? Milgram was the name for both of these people. Talking about messing with the mind. So the Don Quixote book, it'll play a much larger narrative in this story, which we'll get into in a bit, because it is an allegory for alchemical process. Sidebar, you'll notice that when Annie gets the money for the cigarettes, she actually gets it from a New York Post newspaper machine that actually has the Bladdergate thing on the front page, which is what Owen has to go to court for his family, to save the family's name. Now, alchemical allegory, that is basically saying there's a catalyst for change in the world, evolutionary changes in humanity. And New York City is quite literally ground zero for this, because 9/11 saw the attacks that destroyed the twin pillars of Boaz and Jachin. And they were replaced with a One World Tower. Now, if you don't understand the occult and their symbolism and the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, none of this means anything to you. But you have to know that in terms of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, there are two pillars on each side, and then the reconciled opposite is the one at the middle. This is the One World Tower. And the idea is you reconcile the opposites and rise up the center as the pillar of consciousness. Now, that might be a very gross oversimplification of how all of that stuff works, but I assure you that that is a method used. That is why you see the symbolism of the black and white pillars oftentimes. In the show, you see the new Statue of Liberty, the Statue of Extra Liberty, and you know, it looks like a mythological character. I couldn't track down precisely who that is. It might be Icarus with the wings. It has like a lightning bolt in its hand. Doesn't seem to be any specific entity from the mythology, but these Illuminati people love their mythological references. So, the Statue of Liberty itself is a reference to the goddess Semiramis. So it's very curious that we're still talking about these different statues of liberty. Now, the goddess worship theme is also in this show with the owl and such, and the moon worship, which comes up many times in this show, as we will get into. So here we finally meet, in episode one, we meet Owen, who's in this mock interrogation room, and he is actually playing with the Rubik's Cube, showing that it is his thing that he's into, because he's a really smart guy, but he's got some mental issues, schizophrenia. But throughout the show, he's playing with his Rubik's Cube. It's his jam. I don't know. And of course, like I said, the Rubik's Cube was originally called the Magic Cube. And it holds great significance in this series because of its connections to Saturn. And this planet needs to be discussed because they, in terms of the occult alternate version of history, they think when the world formed after the Big Bang, that Saturn was the force required to materialize the Earth. And it's really weird how this works. It's this idea of, oh boy, how do we get into this? So like the skull and bones, right? You've got this idea that the skull is both, it's kind of a necessary evil. It's the, for the skull to calcify. So for the brain to work, you have to have a skull to surround it, right? And they believe that it's the life and death component of it, the dead material, the skull, gives you life when it formed around the brain. I know this isn't going to work. We're going too deep into weeds here, but they basically just know that the force of Saturn gave the materialization of the world, the three-dimensional properties, weights and measures. If you look at like Kronos, that's the god of Saturn, which is the same as the timepieces. All of these things, which are just constructs, really. Saturn is the force that made them happen. And if you didn't materialize the ether, then you couldn't have life. And that's another key concept from this show, is that the Illuminati, they want to take us from a place where the spirit got materialized and reverse it, go from material to spiritual. Now, the beginning of the show, the Big Bang sequence, you do in fact see the symbol of Saturn. It's very obvious. Like I said, it's on the analysis I created for this exact topic. So Owen goes to the Neberdeen Pharmaceutical Biotech to participate in a study. And he wants to fix his mind, but he also kind of wants some money because he gets laid off. But whatever, it doesn't matter. He walks up to the building and you see a very clear symbol of the rainbow. And inside the facility, you can overhear the woman on the PA system saying that, you know, Neb, that's the short for the Neberdeen Pharmaceutical Biotech, Neb is find the end of your rainbow. Now, this rainbow is symbolic of mind control. We've seen this in many films. Wizard of Oz, which was a story by a theosophist, Frank Baum. And Eyes Wide Shut, which was Kubrick's final film. And Kubrick, as you know, is in my project called Kubrick's Code. That's a 3+ hour video I put together and book available on Amazon and Audible. Tom Cruise's character goes, he's talking to the ladies and he said he wants to go where the rainbow ends. Then later on, he ends up going to the Rainbow Fashions costume shop to get his mask for the satanic orgy scene. The reverse Gnostic mass. Now, the rainbow is possibly referencing MKUltra mind control in this film, but I think it's more likely a reference to opening up the chakra points in the characters, because the chakra system is symbolized with the rainbow. And it's basically the belief that there's different energy centers in your body that can be opened up to achieve this enlightenment, this higher status. an understanding the place that a person has within the universe. So ascending up these chakras enlightens one and opens up their third eye. Could even talk about how it reverses the kundalini in the body, this serpent spirit. I don't know. There's a whole slew of ideas behind this. And I think that that's what this rainbow color symbolism in this show is all about. Now, when Owen is inside Neb, he sees this imaginary friend that occurs throughout the show. It's his spirit guide, and his name is Grissom. And he tells Owen that Annie is now his handler. Because Owen is having these delusions that he thinks like the end of the world's coming, and he's got to find this person that's going to help him, whatever. And Annie is that person. Now, when he uses the term handler, you already know where we're going with this. MK Ultra. That's right. The MK Ultra victims said that they were subjected to mind control experiments under the control of a handler. This is the person that oversees all of the responses of the victim and is responsible for their behaviors. Now, as curious as in episode 9, we find out that Grissom is actually Annie's handler. And this is around the same time that she goes back to a place called the Monarch Pass. And of course, that's related to Project Monarch, the sub-program of MKUltra. And these are all real things, folks. MKUltra and Project Monarch, real things that really happened. In episode 5, we find out that Grissom, this spirit guide, is actually Owen's brother, Jed's twin, who died in the womb. So that confirms Owen is actually talking to a spirit from another dimension, another entity. And what's curious is that when Owen is filling out his induction paperwork for the trial, you see that he is actually the age of 33. Now that's very curious here because, of course, Jesus lived to the age of 33, and the highest degree in Freemasonry is the 33rd degree. And this final degree of the Freemasons is reserved only for initiates that are invited. It is the pinnacle of esoteric doctrine, if you want to consider the occult hidden knowledge held by the secret societies. Now, what else is curious is that Francis Bacon is connected into all of this, which we'll talk about when we get into the New Atlantis ideas. All coming up. Now, in the show, you'll see that Annie has this interest in Don Quixote because the book shows up a few times. I mean, it's repeated throughout the show. Very obvious. Now, what's curious about that, and this isn't something that any of the your nonsensical BuzzFeed articles will talk about, is that it's a tale held in high regard by the occultist, because it's about a man who enters this new evolution and enlightenment by learning that his imagination and thoughts could make reality. It is a commentary, an allegory on the Kabbalah, because Don Quixote goes into the Montesinos cave to be indoctrinated with this new understanding of the world. And of course, whenever a character goes into a cave or goes underground, this is symbolic of the occult indoctrination or initiation into the secret inner order. So Quixote goes underground for 3 days to find out that thoughts do create reality. And that material reality is just a layer of illusion. And, you know, I never read the book. It's like 1,000 pages. I'm way too dumb for that. I don't have the time for that. But I did read about it in one of these books that explains a cult. It's called The Secret of the World or something. It doesn't matter. I read it through another book that explains why it is important. And that's what I got out of that. So Quixote realizes that he can control nature through his own thoughts. This is ritual magic at the most basic level. The followers of the Kabbalah believe that the Sephirot on the Tree of Life represent the mental emanations of God, and that the practitioner can someday do the same thing, creating reality through the thoughts. That's what Ariana Grande is doing. She's a demon! She's a demon satanic witch! No, I'm just kidding. I love Ariana Grande, but she does practice the Kabbalah, and she's got a tattoo on her finger of 72 gods. capitalistic stuff. Her and Madonna doing it. They're making it happen. Now, this entire series is actually about opening up the pineal gland of the characters so they can control the world and use their mind to create reality. Again, there's a few takeaways from this show, and they're all the same thing that we've been talking about for years on IlluminatiWatcher.com. Episode 2, Annie and her sister are taking a road trip. It's a flashback. And they take a photo at a place called Monarch Pass. Again, talking about Project Monarch, MK Ultra themes. Project Monarch is referenced many times in entertainment. I talked about this in my analysis for Get Out. You see it there. Definitely about mind control, right? And The Shining, again, in my Project Kubrick's Code. Yeah, see that? And, you know, in that same episode, there is another character we got to talk about, Dr. James Mantlerae. He's basically one of the doctors conducting the experiments. And he is in a virtual reality world. He's having sex with this digital being that he's calling the High Priestess of Atlantis. And Atlantis comes up many times in this show. It's not by mistake. The New Atlantis is what Francis Bacon talked about. This is the center for high technology during the New Golden Age. It's actually America. America. In Bacon's book, The Advancement of Learning, he wrote about handing down parables with hidden meanings on the secrets of the sciences, and how he was also fascinated with the secret codes and numerology, which, again, we're talking about the hidden meanings and secrets through parables. What do you think this is, Maniac? What do you think Maniac is? A hidden meaning and a parable. Francis Bacon, of course, believed in the ancient Kabbalistic cipher and numerology because the name Bacon, which is quite possibly a pseudonym, the numerological equivalent is 33. And again, Owen is 33 years old. It's all in there. Episode 3, we see Owen. He's dressed in a Warren Moon jersey. Warren Moon was a quarterback for the Houston Oilers back in, 1920s or whatever. It's the number one. He's wearing the number one. And you recall that Owen is patient number one in the experiments. Now, Annie is patient number 9. And if you haven't seen it, basically, so like they go through the first experiment and they kind of go inside their own mind and you're allowed to watch their sort of like dream world unfold. And in it, Owen and Annie are hooked up like they're a couple from Long Island. And you see that they're driving a Volvo with 9s and 1s on the license plate. It's 01991A. Okay? And they pull into their house at 901 is the address. Obviously, we're looking at a bunch of 9s and 1s here. There's a meaning for it. What is that meaning? Well, let's take a look at the Kabbalah Tree of Life. There's 10 sephirots on these. Each one represents the mental emanations of God. 10 sephirots, which are very similar to the chakra points. Each point embodies a characteristic of God that the practitioner can utilize, understand, and learn and enlighten themselves to become God someday, to reach the top sephirot, Keter, Kether, the crown. So why are we talking about it? Well, there's a couple ways we could go with this, because I know sometimes I profess to know it all, and this is one time I don't. I need your help. Help me out here. One idea I had. Freeman Fly, the great Freeman. I was on the Free Zone a couple times. It's been a couple years. Shout out, Freeman. We need to hook up again. But he predicted the 9/11 attacks. Did you know that? He's also one of the first people on YouTube. Anyways, he predicted it because he knew that 911 was a satanic number. He said that it means that a magician skips the God number, which is 10, the hermaphroditic union, and goes straight to 11, the number for the sorcerer. Now, this is an abomination in terms of occultism, because the magician skips right past the God number to become the sorcerer. Another idea is that in the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, there is a hidden realm known as Deoth, which resides hidden in the center as the 11th Sephiroth. Aleister Crowley talked about traversing this Tree of Life, and there is a shortcut up the center pillar of consciousness that one can confront the entity that is the guardian of this realm named Caron's Own. And if the initiate was not ready, they could lose their mind quite literally. So, 10 Sephiroth, 10 is a synthesis number. It's a synthesis of the number 1, which symbolizes being, and the number 0, which symbolizes non-being. Now, this is very curious because to me, how it relates to this show is that the show is all about artificial intelligence in the digital world, which when you get into digital stuff, you're talking about binary bits, binary digits, bits. Bits are ones and zeros. That is the foundation of all digital communication. It is a, and trust me, I know, I've got a degree in this. I spent $100,000 to tell you that bits are ones and zeros. Who's the idiot now? Sorry, it's been a long day. Okay, it's a number. 10 is the number for spirit and material fused together. And this takes us into, again, the ideas of Saturn, materializing the spirit world, fusing the material and the spirit, the one and the zero. And that will come up in my conclusion again. But one more idea to look at with the why we're looking at nines and ones. The 33rd degree Freemason Manly Hall, again, there's that number 33. He wrote many of these secret works and philosophies. One was The Secret Destiny of America, which talks about how USA was founded to do the great work. They knew that this was an experiment of occultism. He also wrote a book called The Secret Teachings of All Ages. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing. Yeah, I am. Sorry. It says, all higher numbers can be reduced to one of the original 10 numbers and the 10 itself to 1. He's talking about numerology, right? Therefore, all groups of numbers resulting from the translation of names of deities into their numerical equivalents have a basis in one of the first 10 numbers. By this system, in which the digits are added together, 666 becomes 6 plus 6 plus 6, or 18, and this in turn becomes 1 plus 8, or 9. According to Revelation, 144,000 are to be saved. This number becomes 1 plus 4 plus 4 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0, which equals 9. Thus proving that the beast of Babylon and the number of the saved refer to man himself, whose number is 9. Now, Annie, again, is the number 9. So this number 666 comes up later in the show as well, which I found very curious. But look at what Manly Hall is saying here. He says that the 666, numerologically speaking, equates to 9. It's the number for saved man, is what he says. So later on in the same book, there is a Greek term which signifies the lower mind has 666 as its numerical equivalent. It is also well known to Kabbalists that Jesus has for its numerical value another sacred and secret number, 888. Adding the digits of the number 666, and again adding the digits of the sum, gives the sacred number 9, the symbol of man in his unregenerate state, and also the path of his resurrection. So what are they saying here? They're saying Owen, 1, the number 1, is the representation of being and man. He is destined to meet Annie, the number 9, the sacred number, to go on his path of resurrection. That is the pattern he is looking for. And you'll notice in the show that there's a whole part about how the doctors are confused that Annie and Owen are connected mentally. They have these persistent, inadvertent harmonies. They're talking about the frequencies here. Harmonic frequencies in resonance. So Owen is looking for these patterns throughout the show to fulfill his mission that he thinks he's on. Goes through 3 experiments, which is, again, is very similar to going underground for 3 days. the initiation practice for the occultist and Don Quixote and all the like. And it seems that the protagonists of our show are attached to the numbers of 9 and 1. I believe they are showing us that these two are on the occult initiation paths of self-realization. Let's talk about owls. Let's talk about the moon. Let's talk about the goddess. Oh, the incarnation of the moon goddess is represented as the owl, and we see it in episode 4 with Olivia Meadows, the emotional poltergeist. She has a shirt on the illustration with an owl on it. Episode 5, they are going, again, we're talking about one of the, I think it's experiment number 2. They, Owen and Annie meet up at this house party in 1947 at the full moon seance. And you can see that it's happening in 1947. Very curious, right? That is the year that Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard conducted the Babylon Workings ritual to evoke UFOs and aliens from another world to make the Antichrist. And shout out to SMQ. We did a show on Jack Parsons a few weeks ago, too. Am I being like Mandela affected here with SMQ? What's going on here? A lot of weird connections with us today. But the subsequent crash of the Babylon Workings was in Roswell, New Mexico. Could it be they left a portal open? Yes. Yes, they did. And that is why you see on the invitation for the full moon seance, it says 1947. They did that on purpose. Now, the owls are defined in the show as the moon incarnate. And throughout this episode of the experiment, Owen is referring to the old days constantly in the show when referencing the owl, which I found curious because many years ago I did an analysis of James Franco's band Daddy, and there was a video called Love in the Old Days, which has some satanic looking magic rituals and guys wearing owl heads. Episode 5 is curious because there we are introduced to the character Dr. Greta Mantelray, and in the dream world, she is Gertie Neberdine, and they introduce her as the true goddess of Luna. She is the moon goddess. And I found it super curious that Sally Field is the actress playing this role in the quantum multiverse. Again, we talk about Mandela effect. There's a couple tie-ins she has with it because you remember that quote where it's like, you like me, you really like me. I guess that was Sally Field, right? But what I remember more is her name is Sally Fields. If you went on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, I got a, right when I got done writing this analysis, I got the new issue of the Costco Connection. And who's on the cover? Sally Mother Effin Fields. Check it out. I did a little funny play on words with it. Go to my Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt and check it out. Anyways, episode 1, the narrator was talking about these different realities affecting one another. That is what we see throughout this show. The real reality is that the Neberdines, who started the Neberdine Pharmaceutical Biotech and created the AI with GERTA, G-R-T-A, which is based off of Dr. Greta Mantelray, they are channeling the moon goddess through ritual magic and seances. They're worshiping the moon because the moon is symbolic for the phases of life and the evolution of mankind. Shout out to my chihuahuas down there, keeping me safe, because guess who's at the front door? The Illuminati. We can even see that the lab, they've got a Ouija board for the initiates to be hanging out and, playing games or whatever. Why would they do that? Why are they channeling spirits? This whole series is about evolving man to the next iteration, the next thing, through occult practices of magic and moon goddess channeling. Now, during this 5th episode, we hear Owen's driver referencing Atlantis. He says, "I need a boat to take her to Atlantis." Again, it's all symbolic of the new world, the new Atlantis. Annie is also in this same sequence. And what they're doing inside this full moon seance mansion is they're trying to locate this lost 53rd chapter of Don Quixote. and it's revealed that it's hidden within a mirror. Says the chapter is so powerful that people who read it live in their dream world until they die, which is kind of like Inception, right? But the lost chapter is hidden within a mirror. And what we're looking at here is the mirror is the portal to the new world, the new Atlantis. And that's what Alice in Wonderland is all about when they talk about through the looking glass. And, you know, the concept occurs again in episode 7 when Annie's elf character in the third dream sequence, or whatever you want to call these things, when they go underground for their initiation for the three times, she looks into this mirror to find this lake in the clouds. Again, the Don Quixote reference telling us how powerful thoughts are to create reality. So let's wrap it up. We've been talking a lot about all these ideas. Let's piece them together. So when you go to work, you can tell your coworkers about how this show is about magical evolution in the new Atlantis. And they can think you're crazy and you can get fired just like Owen on this show. Just kidding. Tell them you watched the football game and whatever. You're going to Disneyland next year. So the end game for the Illuminati is evolving man into something better, into the digital consciousness in the new Atlantis, the new world, the new world order. The material realm will be abandoned for good. Not for like better. Like it will be abandoned finally. And we'll enter this new age where they put our souls into this form of light energy, which of course is utter nonsense to me. The computer artificial intelligence of the film GRTA, you actually watch it go through a form of evolution. They are putting, man creates machine. Machine is a new form of life. And GRTA, Goethe, it mourns the loss of Dr. Sorry, I had to break away for a minute. I for real thought the Illuminati were breaking in my house. Dr. Robert Morimoto, who was like kind of her love interest sort of thing going on. He was reading to her some poetry, but he dies. So this AI gains insight into what it means to be an emotional human. And it says it's going to basically go offline. And it prints out a message to Dr. Mantle Ray. And says, I need to know myself, really know myself. What is that? Pop quiz. Classic occult reference. Know thyself. Goes back to the ancient mystery schools where these initiates were trading knowledge and understanding, such as in the inner temples of Egypt. Man, know thyself, and you are going to know the gods. So again, we're talking about references to the esoteric teachings of the Kabbalah, in which God can be found within man. In terms of the occult history, they believe the forces of Saturn materialize the world, as we tried to talk about in the beginning of the show. Thus, the occultists want to spiritualize the world. The reversal of the Kabbalistic tree of life. They want to traverse back to the top Sephiroth, and become God. They are attempting to create life through the form of artificial intelligence, which is again spiritualizing the material realm. All of this repeated exposure to the tales of Don Quixote throughout the show emphasize how important it is to manifest reality and initiation rituals, which is what you see in books like The Alchemist, which I wrote a book called The Desert Enigma, all about The Alchemist, if you haven't seen that yet. It's also, in fact, Alice in Rocky Wonderland? Alice in Rocky Horrorland is a compilation book I wrote. It's got my analysis of The Alchemist and Alice in Wonderland and Rocky Horror Picture Show and something else. Oh yeah, Google. Talk about Google and the transhuman hell. So it's a very applicable book for this subject. You can get it on Amazon, Audible, and signed paperbacks on gumroad.com/IsaacW. The ultimate goal here, of course, is to get man to create his own reality through magical thinking. And of course, Dr. Goethe Mantle Ray is wearing a necklace with the pendant of the bee. Again, the symbol for magic is the bee. Episode 8, we hear Owen discussing the Gnostics and how, you know, some of Jesus' other disciples wrote books that the church wouldn't put in the Bible because it didn't fit the narrative of what they wanted to tell. And he's telling this I think it's Olivia, this other female, he says that our brains are just like that. It only tells us the stories that make sense to it, which I get, right? I get that on a certain level, that our minds are kind of our biggest enemy sometimes. So, you know, some of this occult stuff isn't always wrong entirely. I just don't like the ends of where they want to take it. So in that same episode, Annie is also talking to her sister, and she's trying to explain to her they're in this dream world, right? Where they're elves. She's trying to explain to her how there is a real world out there. And, you know, this is just like a dream world. And, the sister has much disbelief and argues over it, which this is very analogous to Plato's allegory of the cave, right? It's where these prisoners, they believed that all of reality was inside the cave, and that their shadows were basically the extent of reality. The one prisoner breaks free, goes out, sees the real world, comes back in, and is trying to plead and beg for them to understand that there is much more going on outside the cave. And, you know, the Gnostic stuff is all about us being in a prison planet. And the narrative here, the nonsensical narrative, is that the Illuminati want to free us from this prison planet, put us into the man-made digital matrix. And if you think living in Facebook for eternity is a good idea, I question your judgment, quite frankly. But that's basically what they want to do. And that's what Annie signs up for. In episode 8, she agrees to stay in the digital matrix in this fantasy world so she could stay with her dead sister. And you see this kind of stuff with Westworld, that's what that's all about. It's this philosophy of a prison planet. How would we really know if we are in a prison? Whatever. So in the climax of this film, Owen, he's trying to solve this Rubik's Cube in order to save this little world that they're in. And it's curious that his spirit guide Grimson shows up again, and he's telling him 6 sides, 6 stages in order to save this 6 patients. Again, this is very curious because we're talking about 666. It's the number of the beast and the alleged number for the perfected man. You know, and of course the Saturn cube is represented here. So we've got all of these things come together at the end. And the idea here is that man is perfected in the material world through these Saturnian influences, and also the sacred number of 9 portrayed by Annie. And this material world must be used to evolve man into something greater. Man must become God and give birth to a new form of life in the form of artificial intelligence, thus spiritualizing material. Man is then free to evolve further into the digital consciousness and become light energy, free to roam about the universe immortally. Now, I believe these occultists seek to contact further evolved entities from other dimensions to assist us in our evolution, which is why in episode 9, Owen's character of Snorri, which is very comical, by the way, is a Swedish or something. He has one of the alter egos, right? In the dream world, he is told that he has an alien consciousness. He is part alien. So what they desire here is to have the ultimate in connection of human consciousness by creating this new reality through avatars in a digital matrix. And to prove this, to sum this all up, go back to the narrator, the artificial intelligence that speaks to us in episode 1. He tells you the goal is to eradicate all unnecessary forms of human pain and evolve past our suffering. It's a Gnostic tale about a prison planet and how great things could be in the digital world. Now, I watched the shows, I took the notes, I compiled, I wrote the analysis. And, you know, the way my creative process works is I do all that to get my own ideas out there and kind of meld it together. And then I go online to see what other people are saying. Not for long, though, you know, because I go online and, you know, the mainstream dumbass websites are giving their dumb analysis that are absolutely atrocious. I want you to take a look at them just to get a good laugh, because they are claiming they're the real news, not the fake news, okay? But to me, the real subject to talk about is how the mass media works with Google and YouTube to get the real truth from entering your mind. They keep websites like mine and podcasts like mine at the bottom of the search results. Why is that? Why does BuzzFeed, that posts a two-paragraph thing about how this, what this show is about, which it's frustrating because I put so much into this stuff and Google and YouTube want to make sure no one sees it. Instead, they want you to read the fluff pieces, the daytime TV shows. That's what they want you to watch. They want you to be distracted. So these, to me, these occult teachings are dangerous because they suggest that God can be found within man. And I'm trying to explain the symbolism that I see in the entertainment so you can make your own decision about this before, you know, it's kind of like the frog in the boiling water, right? They just turn the heat up while you're in the water instead of throwing you right in. Now, these other websites, they don't see the truth. They don't understand it. They don't even consider alternate points of view. And the censorship attacks prove there really is a battle over your mind. Not to take that phrase from InfoWars, but you know, as much as I dislike Alex Jones and InfoWars, I don't agree that they censored the guy. That's craziness. What is going on? So anyways, that is the sum up of the show. What do you think? Hit me up on the socials. Hit me up and tell me what you think about the show. If you are new to my work, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign up for the free email newsletter. That's the only way we can guarantee to stay in touch because they could kick me off socials at any time because that's what they do. I've already been banned from YouTube, which I reinstated a new YouTube channel. It is Isaac Weishaupt, all one word. And but yeah, and if you like the show, subscribe to the show, the podcast, leave a review. And if you really like the show, go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher where you'll get bonus content, early access to podcast episodes, free download of The Dark Path, my ebook, which explains the whole agenda, why this is all happening, the whole shebang. And yeah, leave reviews for the book on Amazon or Audible. We're well over 100, a couple hundred, I think, at this point. So I do read all of them. So anyways, thank you for your time. And as always, be your best for those who deserve your best.